Today's daf is daf kuf samachet. We're going to start again from daf kuf samachet on the bait, so that we can once again get into the question of what Beis Din does about providing a copy of an existing shtar. Tana Rabbanan. So we're five lines up from the bottom. You're six lines up from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan reshabav yamar avad shtar chovi. So if somebody comes and says, I lost the document that would allow me to collect my debt, afapi shamru edim anu katavnu vechatamnu venatanu lo ein kotvim lo et ashtar. Even if we have witnesses, we cannot rewrite that shtar for him. Bamed varim amurim b'shtari halva'a. The only time we have a problem with this is because if you give him a copy of a loan document, he can go and collect the loan again, and we have no way of proving that that document was lost, as opposed to the case where it was put to the washing machine, where we do have the edim that actually see that this piece of paper that's brought to Beit Din is the one that was put to the washing machine. But b'med varim amur b'shtari halva'a, that's only where it's a straight-out money that's owed. But if it's shtarei mekach u'memkar, so then it serves two purposes. You have over here a document of a purchase. The document of a purchase serves the purpose of proof that the purchase was made. And it furthermore serves to be a document of collection against loss of the property through prior liens that the buyer didn't realize were going to be collected out of the property. So that's called achrayut. So when you can show a purchase document, then that allows you, if you bring it to court together with the document that allowed the collection of your property by a Baal Chov, so bringing those documents together allows you to get money back from the seller, and if the seller doesn't have money, to use the shtar of the Mechira to take the property away from someone who bought property after you, to cover the lien that you had against that further property in the event that someone would exercise a lien against the property that you bought. So if you're going to have a copy of that, what's to prevent you from bringing it to some other person again and collecting yet another piece of property off of a buyer and claiming that, well, my property was taken away? We'll get into the details of how that would happen later. So therefore, what you need to do is, in a case where you're rewriting such a contract, you need to write it in a way that it serves only one purpose and not two. It can only serve as proof of purchase, so that if somebody else tries to pretend that it's his and goes in there for a year and you're out of town or whatever, you can come back and show this was mine, until he establishes, of course, chazak with a taina. But you must therefore write in the copy the following, that it's chutz min achrayut. We'll see exactly whether you have to write it or whether you don't include, that's already in machlokes later, exactly how to write it. But it has to be clear that it does not provide you with the achrayut shebo in the original document. So you don't have the title insurance, but you do have the proof of title.
And right to collect within?
No, there's no title insurance at all. It only proves, that's all. No, I'm sorry, you can't do that either. You can't do that. We're going to get into the question over here of why. And the problem over here is that since Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that, as we'll see later on, otiyot niknot b'misira, which means that if you have a contract, you can actually transfer the contract to somebody else by giving it to him without any further contract on the contract and so on. That's otiyot. So in other words, information can also be given over with an act of kinyan of mesira. So since he holds that, because, as the Gemara says, v'chein hayar shimon gamliel omer, indeed, if somebody gives a gift to a friend, the gift consisting of the contract that you yourself had, that provided you the ownership, let's say, to a piece of property, you hand him over that document, now that property is his. So now if he hands you back the document, Now the property is yours again, because it's all nikdot b'misira. So you can't allow there to be another shtar, because then the shtar could be used as proof that it was returned. And so forget about it. It doesn't have to do with collection. And if that's the case, there's no way over here that we can allow an extra copy around. Whereas chachamim omrim, no, matanato kayemet. What do you mean? It's a matana. So what's the problem? So if he claims it was returned, his contract was returned, what is that? That doesn't show anything. Where does it say that it was bought anew? Where is there a contract for a new purchase? No contract, no property. Give it back. Doesn't matter who holds the original piece of paper now. And therefore, there won't be any problem. So in the mail, according to the Chachamim, there's no issue. And according to Shem Gamliel, there is an issue. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to go into the details of this Machlokas with Shem Gamliel and the Rabbanim. But first, we want to get back to the main issue that we started. So, getting back to it, Omamar, you said that it's okay to write out a copy of a shtar on a mekach u'memka as long as you write the words chutz me'achrayut shebo or something to that effect. As you see to it that it doesn't have achrayut. What exactly is the problem? My time. Omer b'safra, well, it's basically what Abaye was referring to yesterday. Levisha ein kotvim shnei shtarot al sada achat. You can't have two documents of sale on one lot. Because Dilma Azil Balchov Torif Leilahai. Because now the Gemara gives us a rather complicated case, which we didn't think originally we needed a complicated case. It seemed very simple. The Gemara will later ask, why are we giving such a complicated case? Fine, we'll talk about that. It turns out there are logistics that we need to take into consideration. But right now, let's just hear the complicated case. This is clearly a case that could cause problems. So, if there's two contracts, what might happen? A balchov may come now, v'tarif le'lahai. Okay, so he's going to take now the field away from you with a document that proves that he had a lien before you bought the field. Now, you're going to go try to collect the money from the seller to the field, of the field, with the original contract, right? You will be mafik, and if this guy doesn't have any money, what are you going to do? You're going to take out one of your contracts. He doesn't have any money. You'll use that contract to be tarif lekuchot. Now you'll be able to get a field that he sold after selling your field, because any field sold after the sale of your field to you carries the lien of the title insurance to you. That's automatically granted you when you buy it. So now any buyer of the field after you has not only the risks of loans against it, but has the risk of the collection of a loan against the other property that will come back now to them in the end. So that if a Balchov collects it from you, you know that you have recourse. So the only guy who's not going to have any recourse is the guy who buys the last field from this person, because he's stuck. If the guy doesn't have any money, he has nowhere to collect from because he's last in line. Obviously, that lessens the value of the field considerably, because there's no way to obtain title insurance on it. Okay.
They have a right to come to collect from him first, the Balchov. They don't have to go to the last field that was sold.
Who? The original Balchov?
The people that are the Balchov, the one that's saying...
Yeah, he may have a lien specifically and also, I mean, even if it was out of order. But that was all Shiloh. What's the state? We may have an apotheke. I mean, it doesn't even come up, the question. So now, what happens is, this is the part that doesn't seem to make sense, because all he needs to do is to present two documents simultaneously, one to one buyer, one to another buyer, and collect them, right? Because, let's say he goes to one place, presents one of these things, and takes away the property, and then he can just simply use the other contract immediately to do that again. But here it says, what he'll say to the Balchov is, okay, listen, shofli de ekumba. Now, what I want you to do is just lay low now for a number of years, 3 years, in other words. That way I will establish that I am the owner now of this new piece of land, right? And people, meanwhile, will forget, whatever it is, 4 years, 5 years, they'll forget the fact that we went through this event already. You come along now and betereth that property from me again, v'hadarta entirpan, Umafik achrina, then he'll take out the other property insurance that he had. Vohadar azul tarvlekuchot achrina. And then he's going to go and he will take now from other lekuchot. How can you do that, says the Gemara? I don't understand. He can't collect again. You're telling me that he's going to collect again. A collection is a very complex thing. I mean, first of all, the first thing you need to do in order to collect is you have to bring the document of the original loan. Okay, when you bring that document, they tear it up. The court will tear it up before it will issue an order of collection. This is what's going to allow the contract to remain with somebody. How do they know it won't go to another court that doesn't know anything about it? So they rip it up with the karabezdin. So he won't be able to re-present it to be able to possess your land. You're not going to be able to present now a repossession document, right? So how are you going to be able to utilize your phony copy to go and yourself be torah from another buyer? You're never going to get that document from the court. Such an order simply will not be granted you because he won't be able to present his shtar. So the lender is going to lose his shtar now in court. But my harder tariff, how the heck is he going to be able to come and get this property from you to allow this little pretense to continue? I mean, obviously you're planning on sharing the profits with them and so on. But v'chite melolo karani, you'll say, well, you know, maybe we should worry that the court didn't tear it. You know, who knows? No. The thing is, Ha'omer of Nachman, let's discuss the Seder of collection. If you have now a shtar, which is a tirva, so when you go into Besdin and you want money, and what happens is, so the lender now is taken into court. The lender says to the court, I don't have any money. So what they do then is write out a document which is called a shtar tirpa. A shtar tirpa gives you a right to go out and identify properties. So you can go around now, look around, find out, and say the court has given me the right to ask and I want to prove, where did you get this property from? Show me that you bought it from someone else. No, you bought it from him. Okay, now I know. Then I go back to the court. I say, okay, I've identified a property. So now what do? You can't just take it because we have to establish its value in court and how much you have a right of it to take, right? So the next step along the line is, now obviously this may be in a different city. You can bring a shtar tirpa, let's say that's issued in New York, and you go to Chicago and you show here a Besdin has issued this tirpa, so I need your help. You go around, come back to the Besdin and says, I've identified a property here in the Chicago area. The next step is that you have to go and actually collect it. That's hotzah lepoal. So that's called dricha, adarchata. Adarchata means you have a right to be dorech on his property. So since you have a right to be dorech on his property, you can now go ahead and you actually collect it. And now I need you to give me a shuma. Okay, so Besdin now sends out an assessor, I'll be the Besdin, and then they write out the Shuma. Now, at each one of these stages, the Besdin is going to tear up the previous act. Because if they don't, there's always a chance that you can once again, you'll go to another Besdin, and you'll say, look, here I have my X or my Y, so let me go now and take over this field. So Mamela, if you have a tirfa, says Rabbi Nachman, that somebody presents in court from another Besdin, and it doesn't say in that document, Karana Lishtara de Malva, that we issued this after tearing up the contract for the Malva, who can no longer go and present it to another court to get another judgment, then it's not given any kind of legal value. Lav tirfa, that is not a legal document. The document has to say, with the signature of the court, that the previous document was ruined. And the next stage along, which is the adarchata, which is given over here now before the shuma, because the shuma is going to be what you can buy it back with. If you remember, we always give, the Besdin always gives a guy the right to buy back the property if he ends up getting money. Okay, so therefore the Shuma will give him in the end. If the Adarchata, which gives him a right to actualize the Tirfa, does not say that the tirfa was torn up before we issued the adarkata, then the adarkata is not going to be honored by any court. And therefore, it's a piece of junk. So that's lav adarkatahu. If the shuma doesn't say that we tore up the adarkata before listing the shuma, which is the actual value of what it is that you're taking, then that's not a shuma either. So there's no way. I mean, we've thought of all of these things. There's no way that a person could go and do this twice. He's going to be missing every stage along the way. He's going to be missing something. So how in the world could he make this little deal with the ostensible lender if the lender no longer has a document to collect? So what exactly are you worried about? Oh, well, that's true, says the Gemara, but there are cases. I mean, for instance, suppose a guy is collecting without a document. Suppose a guy is coming and saying, hey, the one who sold you that field actually had inherited that from someone who had stolen it from my father, or he himself stole it. And here's the proof. So then, if that's the case, if he is ga'ati mikuach avate, so he, all he needs to do is bring Besdin, bring Adam to Besdin. And that this person doesn't have a taina, all I know is I bought it from so-and-so. Well, do you know that so-and-so owned it? No, okay. Well, there's witnesses that my father owned it. So what do you want? You just give it back to me. So there he's collecting the field not because of a halva'a, okay? So now you take the sale document of that field, which turns out to be a phony sale document, but includes the achrayas for the tefisa of the field by somebody else. You then go back. If that person has already sold another field that he did own, you could go and collect that other field that he did own. So in that case, what are they going to tear up? The Adim? There's nothing to tear up. So what's to prevent this from being done again? So lo tzricha, therefore, case would be the ka'ati mikoach avate. So he's coming now with a tfiyah that it's coming from his father, and there he's going to make a deal with the guy, and he's saying, okay, so now stay low, let me reestablish ownership of this field, so no one will know, and then come and take it again, and then I'll collect again yet another field, and we'll split it, because I have another document. So even though the court tore up my document, because I was the lien holder, when I went out to get the shtartir for the adarkata and the shuma against them, don't give me another one, because now I have another sale document that says in it that I have a guarantee. So there we have to worry. And therefore we cannot allow you to have two unless it says beferush that there's no guarantee. Omale Ravacha Midifta Ravina, this sounds like an awfully complicated case. Why do we need all of this? Why do we need to do this with this whole business to reestablish? Don't reestablish anything. Just go to two separate locations where the guy may have sold, he may have sold a field in one place and then sold a field to another place. Take your two shtarot simultaneously, present it in one place where they don't know from the other place, and you'll be able to collect twice. Isn't that enough of a problem? I mean, why is this the only way to do it? This takes you 5 years to get it done. You can do all of this in a week. So, why not just say that the problem is, since he now has two possible documents to present for tarifa of a field, so he'll be tarif or other tarif. He'll just do it twice, two different places. Well, that's true, says the Gemara, but that's not a very effective way to cheat, because you'll immediately be found out. Because imke nafish alei ba'alei dinim. Because then what's going to happen is that the two people are going to present the problem simultaneously against the seller, and then the whole thing is going to be exposed. So nobody will do that. In no time at all, the seller of this field to the guy is going to be suddenly bombarded with suits from people that he knows couldn't be possible. So then the whole thing is going to come out. Was there a Besdin that wrote another shtar? Yes, there was. So who's going to do that? So that isn't the real problem. The problem is to give it enough time to be able to get away with it. Okay, says the Gemara. Why don't we? So again, Navashali Baladin. Velichtov lai shtar ma'alya. Velichtov tavra. Lemocher, what's the problem of not, it's an easy way to prevent this from happening is to write a shover, right? You're making pretend that we're never going to be able to give a document that will prevent this from happening again. Remember that any time that you're going to be Toveya, the first step is to be Toveya the person. Then you're going to be Toveya Lekuchot, right? So now, court's going to bring the guy in. So then let's just provide him with a document that says that the guarantee against field XYZ was paid. Then I'll have a shover. So if he presents a shtar at any time, which is a copy of that, I don't care how many copies there are. We don't care about that. That's the point of a shover. Sorry, that was paid. Because it's not a new contract. It's a contract that was dated years ago. It's already been taken care of. So, I mean, is this really such a big problem that you make such a big deal with it? Give the guy a regular shtar. Give the guy 100 copies. What's the problem? All we need to do is liktov tav lemocher. What we need to do is write a document that says, kol shtar diafkan al arad psulin levar min diafik bezimna da. That any shtar coming now against this property doesn't have any kind of legal validity because you've already paid. And that's it. And you cure all the problems. Except for this that is coming out now at this time. Amrua Rabbana Kameder of Papa. Namela Kameder of Ashi. Zotabertain Kotvim Shover. Lechora, you see from here, we're going to see this is a big machlokas later. We see from here that we're taking for granted that there's no recourse. Why is there no recourse? Because we will not force a guy, in this case, the original seller, to accept that he needs to take care of a document to protect himself in order to provide people with copies. Why should we do that? Let the people that may be Toveya, let them be the ones that have the problem, not the guy that would have to protect himself against them. So therefore, we don't go to the second line of defense against fraud. We go to the first line of defense. If the person could be defrauded by a contract, we don't say, well, that's not a problem. You can always protect yourself by, and what happens if something happens to Shover? And what happens if it gets lost in moving? And what happens if the bank burns down? And why am I the one that's responsible? So this is a question we're going to have very soon. So Lechori, you see from here, since we make this whole fancy problem and deal over the entire page with what could we do to prevent it when the obvious solution is staring you in the face, it's clear that everybody holds that we don't force a guy to write a shover. I mean, anything can happen to be a shover. The doggy can eat the shover. Mice can eat the shover. I mean, so what? Because of that, I'm going to be able to be collected from again. Therefore, it's not my problem. I'm sorry, said Rav Ashi. Not necessarily. That is not really the case because this is a special situation. I'll explain to you why. It's very possible that Ba'alma Kotvim Shover, so in a case where a guy wants, let's say, a copy of a shtar, he wants to be able to, or a case where maybe part of a loan was paid, and now you want to simply, instead of going through the whole business of being mashlish like we had before, you want to just give the guy a receipt and keep your original shtar. And the guy's saying, no, I'm not paying you unless you rewrite the shtar, unless we give it into an escrow holder. Maybe indeed you could say, well, too bad for you. You're going to have to keep the shover. So why is this case any different? Very simple. The dilma is of balchov v'tarif b'nei delokeha. And the shover, gabi lekuchot leka. Look, a guy who now is presented with a document that shows that you were taruf, and that you have a right, you have a lien against his property. So what he may well do is say, darn, okay, what can I do? Now, obviously the end is going to be going back to the seller. But he doesn't have any way of knowing that there's a shover. He wasn't the one that was given the shover. It was the original seller who lives 1,000 miles away who was given the shover. So this guy who is here, he's going to eventually get back to the seller. That's true. But right now, his first reaction is, oh my gosh. So the guy has a court document that shows that he was taruf, and that shows that he has a lien against me with this guarantee. And what am I going to do? So he'll pay. So, but what do you mean, so he'll pay? I mean, he's not paying cash. He's letting him take the property. So then, in the end, we're obviously it's going to get back to the guy, right? Because he's going to, the next step is, sof sof, lekuchot, You're telling me, Alava Mori Dara Hadri? Don't they go back to the owner of them, and they're not going to just sit here and let the guy walk off with their property? They have to sue the person who sold them the property with a lien against it. They were also sold with a guarantee, so they can collect their guarantee. They're going to come back to the guy. You're saying, so it'll take a month. Maybe it'll take 3 months, whatever. But what's the problem? I mean, they're not going to lose, are they? Says the Gemara, they are going to lose. You're right that in the end, they'll be able to get it back. The thing is, though, the adahaki vahaki shamed vahachol peret. If they do that, so then he's going to meanwhile be using the field, not try to get the money back. Right. This is kosher gezel amercha. Once it's eaten, you could try to get the money back, but that's going to be terrible. So because of that, we don't put people into a position where they're not going to be the shofar holders and insist that somebody else should keep the shofar to protect him, and how about protecting everybody else? So, Mamela, there's no way in this particular case to put out a shofar. Or, I mean, there's also a possibility that there was a loker shelo b'achrayut. How do we know that the person that is going to be... you're saying it'll eventually get back to the seller. Maybe this is the last guy. And the guy said, look, I don't have anything else to collect from. So, you know, I'll give it to you at a discount. And it's without any achrayut. So then he'll really lose. Because he's not even going to go back to recover his money because he doesn't have any option to recover his money.
Doesn't the Baal Chayav have to go to the original...
Yeah, we're talking, we said already that there's alternatives. There may be a case where it's the Avata. In other words, whatever the problem was, however you understood it, Lamanal of the issue, the Shover wouldn't be a solution. Because a Shover's only solution would be Toveya the man, and over here you're being Toveya the Lakua. Says, so, I don't know, now I'm really confused. But, so then that could happen with the Halva also. You made this whole big thing that there's a difference between shtarot, you said before, of mekach u'memkach. But with halvaot, you said right out in the beginning that we're not going to give this guy the possibility of halvaot. And then you say, but we would write a shofar for halvaot. You're telling me halvaot we're going to give a shofar for. That's what you said, maybe. But I understand, a halvaot can't come to exactly the same situation. Guy's going to collect from somebody, and this person also has lekuchot. Right? So he goes, he collects from the guy, then he's got a copy. So he goes to court in a place where there's another field. He goes to that person and he says, okay, I have a loan against this guy. So the bezdin is going to be toreif. That person is not going to know that the lakuach, the original mocher, has got a toreif. So he too has got the same problem. I mean, eventually he'll go back there, but maybe shelo b'achrayut, and maybe meanwhile for the next 3 months he's going to be losing his peirot, and then he's going to have to wait 20 years for Hotel Apol to get his peirot back. So it's exactly the same. I don't see any difference between the case of the shtar halva'ah where he said, no, over there we'll write a shover, and this case we say we won't write a shover. Why is this case different? So let's see that inside. Yochi shtare halva'ah nami. No, says the Gemara, there's an interesting psychological difference. Because hatam dezuze masik, amrik paise balchov bezuze, mashenken hocha de ara masik, yada, meida yada, deman de masik ara, bezuze elomit payes. The case is different because when it comes to the balchov is owed cash. So the first thing that the lokeach, from that mocher, thinks to himself, is he's got a contract, but, I mean, why would he come after me? His first step would have been to get cash back from the guy. So I better check. I'm not going to let him take this before I can make absolutely certain. When somebody's coming because of a phony sale of property, so now he's incensed. He wants property. So then the guy figures, look, he's not gonna let go of this, you know, searching for cash from the other guy. He's gonna be searching for property, and I know I'm the next property that was bought. So Mamela, he'll much more likely give in and say, okay, you know what, take the property meanwhile, and I'll try to recover cash from the guy. Because after all, you have a right to property. Now this is problematic, because as Tosis points out, even though it's not 100% provable, but it certainly doesn't seem to be any reason why the person, the original seller, could not be mafias initially, even in a case where a guy was sold karka with cash. So is it really all that different? So just because he wants karka. But why wouldn't the person feel that he might have gone back to the guy and the guy forced him to take cash and not karka? Okay, look, clearly it's different because I'm not going after cash the way I would if I was a Baal Chov. So psychologically it's different. Legally, it's a little bit difficult to prove that there's any difference in terms of the court procedure. So Mimela, he knows Mida Yada the Man Masik Arab is Uzilamafai. He's not gonna be happy with money. He's really gonna wanna get property out of this. Okay, now let me just get going back to what you said. You said you can rewrite a contract. In other words, provide a copy of a contract on a sale of a property as long as it's clear that it's chutz min achrayut shebo. How do you do that exactly? How would you write a shtar in practical terms that does not provide achrayut? Omer Rav Nachman, you'd have to write the following. Shtar denan, this document, delo lamikbebe lo mimishabde, is issued without any rights of collection, not based on liens, nor of collection even directly from free properties. It's issued for the sole purpose of allowing the guy to prove that this property was purchased by him. And that's all. Omar Afram, wow, that's a lot of legalese for something that you should have had to write positively, not negatively. If you just write so-and-so bought it and you don't write a guarantee, isn't that enough? Clearly this shows, says Rafra, that achrayut is viewed as a ta'ut sofer. So in other words, if somebody has a document that doesn't mention the achrayut, then it automatically includes achrayut, because we view that as just being the sofer overlooked it. But there's an umdana that every contract was based on achrayut, and we just don't bother writing it down because it's a given. So therefore, in order for me to prevent that given from going into effect, I need to go out of my way to make it very clear that, well, in this particular case, it was not a given. It was written specifically so that I don't have achrayut. So it seems to me, because time in a kotev layach, the only reason that you would avoid having the title insurance was because of this complex statement over here. But if you didn't write that, halo kotev layach, so then, ein achinami, you would go ahead now, and what could you do? You would be able to be geiva, because even though if the guy would say, well, but I didn't say anything about achrayut, it doesn't matter. It's obviously a tot sofer, I'm going to collect. Rav Ashi says, well, the whole thing is wrong. Actually, achrayut is not a tot sofer. And when we say chutz mi achrayut shebo, we do not mean you make it clear that you don't have achrayut. What we mean is de lo kativ be achrayut. You just simply don't write it. If you don't write it, you don't have it. And that settles the whole issue. Okay, so this is a machlokas that we've had before. Now, ayi itita, diyavile zuzi lau gavra, lemizban la ara. There was a case where a woman had given money to a guy to buy a piece of property for her, and he was oval zavala shelo b'achrayut. He bought a piece of property, and he bought it shelo b'achrayut, whatever that means, whether it was a tot sofer note, so then it would mean it would have to be written specifically, look, I don't have any other land, I'm not providing you any insurance. Or he just didn't write, if you hold that it's considered love tot sofer. But in any event, she didn't want that. So she goes to court and she says, I just want my money back. I mean, I gave him money to buy something for me. The guy messed me up and now gave me something that I'm not going to be, Richie's not here, somebody's got something. Gave me something that's useless. How am I going to be able to get it back if somebody comes along now and tries to collect it with a lien? So she comes to Rav Nachman to sue the guy. Or Marley, and she tells the shliach, look, she's absolutely right. I mean, this is a classic case where a person has a right to be toying. I made you an agent to do things in a way that benefits me, not to mess me up. Therefore, your agency is canceled. Now, lemaisa, if the agency is canceled, what should happen is simply that the whole thing didn't take place, and she should just take her money back. And yet, Rav Nachman said, here's what to do. You, Mr. Shliach, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to buy this field yourself without achrayut, because that was the deal, and then resell it to her, you providing her with the achrayut. Okay, now the question is why? I mean, because this is not what I you just say, forget it. I'm not interested. She's not interested. All right, so clearly something else is going on over. It's about Chokas Rishonim. What? The simple solution is that the agent had bought the field without saying that it was for her. And therefore, as far as the seller was concerned, the agent gave him money that was his money, and took out a sale on this field for himself. So when the agent comes back and says, I'm really sorry, the seller says, so am I.
You bought it.
Exactly. So now what are you going to do? So she's saying, well, I just want my money. But he's saying, but I don't have any money. So now, if that's the case, says Rav Nachman, okay, so the only thing we can do is that you provide her with the insurance. If it ever comes, then we'll worry about it. If it ever comes to the case that you're going to have to pay, we're going to have to start taking your things away. But at this point, okay, it could be talking about that she really wants the property, except she only wants it, so then it's great. Then she's very happy. Okay, I got my property and I have my insurance. It's also enough for me. Okay, so there's alternatives also that it's talking about, that the seller refused to give the money, or already used the money, couldn't get the money. And what's the responsibility now of the shliach to do for her in order to be able to get her value for her money?
The last thing that Vahoda Zavman Ne'ela Bachreis has
he
to
gives
talk
it to
Bachreis?
Of course.
He gives her mom and this and he keeps the field. He gives her mom and he keeps the field.
No, in Achinami, he could. If he has money, he could, yes. It's talking about that.
Doesn't have it, so he gives it to her.
Or, I mean, you know, this is what she really wants. So you say, look, if you want to satisfy her, then that's what you got to do. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer. Now, you said before that according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, we can't have another contract around simply because then you could fake the return of a gift. And since I hold anotein matana l'chaveiro, and then if that chaveiro would have given him back the shtar, so then that would have been the equivalent of chazra matanato. So then if you're giving him another shtar, he could say, chazra matanati, the guy gave it back to me. How do you think I have it? So my time with Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, I don't quite understand. Why? How would this work out, Aliba, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel? If the guy were, we're going to see that he holds otiotnik note, as we said before. But until we get to an understanding, what exactly would be the reason, if you give somebody a matana, that he can return the matana to you by giving you back the shtar? Oh, says Ravasi, that's because it's understood that since you provided him with the original shtar, which is a funny way to give a matana, so you were essentially saying, look, so long as you're in possession of my shtar, you can use my property. So the moment you give it back, so it's like it's nine. So you're saying, I'm giving you this matana as long as this shtar remains in your possession. Okay, so then if I have it back, so then he canceled it simply because of the cancellation of the tnai, that's all. So it's nasek omer lo sadezuna tuna lacha, kozman shashtar biyatcha. Matki for Rava, it's ridiculous. So then when yachi nignav or avad, you're saying if there's a condition, you have to have the shtar, and otherwise it remains mine. So in other words, if the shtar was stolen, now you don't have the shtar, so now it's mine. That's what you're saying. It's nothing to do with giving back the shtar. It has to do with the possession of the shtar. So, I mean, but that's clearly not the case. The whole point was that if he was marzer him the shtar, so if it's only because of a tnai, then that's not enough to explain why it would require hachzarat ha-shtar instead of the simple not being in possession of the shtar. So that can't be it. Elo Amar Rava, I'll explain to you. The real issue over here is b'otiyot niknot b'misira kamiflag. As we explained earlier, the problem is that Reb Shimon Gamliel Savar, otiyot niknot b'misira, that it's possible to make a kinyan on the information that's contained on a piece of paper. Misira, the Rabbanan say that's absurd. How does the misira deal with the information? The misira only says, I'll tell you what the misira says. The misira says, I am giving you over this piece of paper, and now you can use it to wrap a cigarette or to tie over a perfume bottle. That's all you're doing. You're not asserting anything over the information that's contained in the paper because it has nothing to do with the paper. The paper is just a matrix for that information. So it makes no sense to say that the misira of a piece of paper is going to contain information. It's crazy. Because of that, you would have to actually go through a kinyan on what it is that you're trying to give him. And therefore, what's the chashash? Unless there was a new kinyan, nothing happened. So you have another contract. So the guy, you'll claim that he returned the contract. So he returned the contract. What does that show? He doesn't like you. Okay, he doesn't like you. Is that why you're in court? Well, who cares if he gave you back the document? So according to the Rabbanan, it's not a problem, therefore, to provide him with an alternative document. But if you hold it out the other nikdot bin misira, then if he returns it to you, he was also maknab bin misira, that's all. It has nothing to do with being in possession of the contract. It has to do with being in possession of the information, which is the fact that it's yours.
Maaseh, that information says that he's giving, Reuven is giving it to Shimon. So when Shimon gives him back the contract.
No, no. No, I'm sorry, maybe I didn't explain it properly. It's the original contract, not a contract of the gift.
Ah, the contract just says that.
Yeah, the contract says that I bought this 30 years ago. Uh-huh. Now I'm giving you that contract. I'm saying, you know what, I want to give you the field. Here's the contract. Right? No, of course not. If I write a contract, that's the writing a contract is the way in which the Kenyan is done. As a matter of fact, you can write a contract on the contract. As long as you can write a contract that says that my giving over this contract is intended to give over that information, as that, so that becomes now a part of this contract, the information therein contained. That's also good. But simply handing it over doesn't mean anything. So what are you going to do with the original contract? Where does it say that this is now part and parcel of the new contract that's providing ownership? It doesn't say that anywhere. So it's a useless piece of paper for you now, the copy. Okay, Omar Mar, chutz mi'akrayut shebo, my time, Omar Psafer, if you ain't cutting shnei shtarot al sade echad, Dilma ozil balchov, torif leila, hai velzalai mafikhan, vitorif lekuchot, vomlai le balchov, look, just shofli, deikumba, then come back, and tirfat again, and then mafikachrina the copy, and then hadar ozitorif lekuchot achrine. What do you mean? How could he do that? Given the Karana Lishtari the Malve, he can't come back to be Torifim. What are you talking about? But my heart a Torifle. Vachitem, oh, we worry, maybe the low Karano. Om Reb Nachman, then the Tirful wouldn't have been good. Because called Tirful the Lakotikbe, quote, Karane Lishtari the Malve, unquote, is not a Tirfa. And call a Darkita, the Lakotikbe, Karaneel the Tirfa, Lava Darkati. Vachol Shuma the Lakotikbe, Karaneel the Adarkata, Lav Shumehi. And it's all based on Edis, not on Shtorot. Why can't he simply go all at one time and typically to give it an okay trade story, he'll be Torif or the Torif? Because then the whole thing will blow up in his face. Because not for Shalai Baladini. So why not Lichtrov Laishtar Ma'alya? The Lichtov Tarva Lamocher that says, Ko Shtarig the Yafkun al Arada, Pisulin, Lavar, Mandiofik, Bezim Nada. Amrug, Hamavana, Kameder of Papa, Vamra, Kameder of Ashi. Well, obviously, Zotomeret, Ain Kotvim Shover. Omar Luz, Ravashi said, Biyama, maybe Kotvim Shover. So if it was Stama Alva, that would be okay. How kind of time up? The Dilma Azil Balchov Vitorif Minedelokeach, Vazil Ihu Vitorif Lukuchot, and the Shover is not by the Lukuchot, is it? Yeah, but I mean, so Lukuchot Lava Morida Are Hadra? True. But Adahaki Vahaki, Shamed Vahakil Peri, or and what happens if there's a Lokeach Shalor Bachrayut that he collects from? So then you have exactly the same problem with Alva. What do you mean? Ba'alma Kotvim Shover. There is no Ba'alma Kotvim Shover. Because even Shtari Halva Nami, no, because Hatam, since it's Zuzi Maski, so Amri Paisei Balchov Bezuzi, and they're not going to let him take anything until they check it out. But Halacha, the Ara Masik, media the demand of Masik Ara Bezuzi Lomi finds. Omer Marchut Min Achrayut Shebo. How do you do that? Eche Katvin Amrim Nachman. The Katvi Hachi. Shtara Denan. Lo lemigbebe at all. Lo mimeshabde, velo biblechori. It has one purpose and one purpose only. Le'ela ki echa de tekumara beyade de lokeach. Omer Afram, zot omeret, if you have to go through all of that, but achrayuto utsoferu. Because what you're saying is that time in a katav le'achi, or lo katav le'achi, he would still be govi. Ravashi Omer, I disagree with that achrayut. Lafto utsoferu. And when you say chutz me'achrayut shebo, all it means is the lokativ be'achrayut. Ahi itita di avilei zuzi la ugavra lemizven la'ara osal zaveng la shalo ba'achrayut. Ati lekami de Nachman omar lei look l'tikune shadartich v'lo lavat zil zavne minei shalo ba'achrayut as you agreed, and then sell it back to the woman with achrayut that you provide. Reb Shimon Gamliel omer notin batana lechaviro. V'yachzir lo et hashtar, chazra matanato. V'chachamim omer matanato kayemet. What in the world could be the reason that Reb Shimon Gamliel holds that giving back a shtar is the giving back of the gift? Omer avasi, because the whole thing is clear that it's naase ke omer lo, sadeh zo netuna lecha, kol zman shashtar biyatcha. Matki flo rabbi yochi. Nigna v'ovad. So it would be the same thing that the matanas chozeret, not because the shtar was chozer. Elom haraba, the issue of here is otiot niknot b'misira k'miflige. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel savar otiot niknot b'misira, and therefore can be returned b'misira. Rabbanan savri ein otiot niknot b'misira.